If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
With home security, there's two ways you can go about protecting your home. Way number one, the sucky way. You wait weeks and weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune. Or there's method number two, the dope way, the tight way, the good way, the simply safe way. Simply Safe is everything you need in a home security system. It is award-winning protection. It is the two-time winner of the CNET Editor's Choice Award. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in safety. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras, doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Friends, family, robbers. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard the inside. And you barely notice it's there. But what's truly remarkable, you can set this bad boy all up by yourself. Literally anyone can do it. It takes 30 minutes to an hour tops. And there's absolutely no trade-offs to your safety. You will have an army of trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice. 24/7. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. That's why The Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security system. And The Verge doesn't just say stuff, they mean it. Go to simplysafe.com/team today. By the way, it's spelled simplisafe.com/team today. And guess what? You get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You got nothing to lose. Go now. And be sure you go to simplysafe.com/team.
Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers! Yeah, 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 yeah.
Coming to you from the bowels of a concrete bunker. Deep under the citadel of the outpost, ensconced in a coronavirus-proof encasement of mortar, cinder block, and steel. Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. It is March 15th, 2020. This is Tom coming to you from those bowels of Sawdust Studios at the Washington, D.C. Outpost, and Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost. Wow, the week went from absolutely nothing to talk about to a corona explosion, not just of the virus, but of football news.
That's right. I think we should talk about this illness that is poised to sweep the nation because, let's be honest, it's really a good thing because Sawdust Studios is nigh impenetrable and we have an infinite litany of topics to talk about now that CBA was finally passed, so we'll get to that today. I think you guys have probably heard enough about the corona thing that's going around. That's what I call it, the corona thing. And you don't need two idiots like us telling you about it, but we do know some stuff about the Steelers and some stuff about the NFL. And obviously the biggest thing that we can talk about today, besides a very unfortunate signing by our divisional rivals, is this CBA. So it got approved, huh? Just barely passed in the voting.
Yeah. Incredibly, it was a 51.5% approval. So I didn't do the math, but 60
yes,
guys
60,
difference.
70? Wow.
So it was very close. And not everybody voted, obviously. I think they were counting on having about 25, or at least there were 2,500 eligible players and about 2,000 voted for it.
Is that better or worse than you would anticipate? So the final score was 1,019 yes, 959 no. And you got 2,000 out of 2,500. Do you think that's better than you would predict for NFL players or worse or right on par?
I would not have expected that low turnout. This is
Yeah, that's kind of sad, right?
I mean, who knows what reasons people don't. Maybe for the same reasons they don't make political votes. They don't, you know, understand it. Their vote won't matter. Clearly, your vote can matter.
The vote matters here, though. Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, in the political votes. It's very personal. It affects you directly, especially what, like 65% of the guys in the NFL or something like that make minimum salary, and they're getting massive salary bumps. So that's weird to me why you wouldn't vote. I'm not honestly that – well, I can understand where people are coming from, whether you agree with their choices or not. But, like, yeah, not voting on political issues is sort of like, oh, my one vote isn't going to turn it. I don't understand it. Oh, it's basically the same person running against themselves with slightly different outcomes. Either way, I have no real influence on what happens. Okay, I can see how someone can convince themselves of that. But this is 2,500 guys. They won by 60 votes. So that is kind of crazy that you wouldn't vote in this scenario.
You know what? I was looking up because part of the problem might be you might not know if you're eligible to vote. I mean, some of these guys, I guess if you are an unrestricted player, unrestricted free agent, does that mean you're in the NFLPA? I wonder if some guys are just confused.
Let's just hope it's that. So yeah. you want to go over the changes? Obviously, we've gone over the proposed changes, and so this isn't anything new, but maybe we can make this a little concise and kind of go from there.
Sure. Everybody knows that we're adding a 17th game. Probably won't happen. It won't happen in 2020. They assume it'll take place in 2021. The number of playoff teams increased from 12 to 14. Rosters are expanded by two. Practice teams are also increased by two. There are obviously higher minimum salaries and improved benefits, improved pension, also improvements for former players. And we talked about last week changes to the drug policy, so that's a little more lenient when it comes to marijuana, or however right. You kids pronounce it today.
That's
but
a say,
little
yeah,
more, but some steeper penalties for anabolic steroid use.
That's good.
Other changes to the discipline policies. So player revenue increases from 47 to 48%, and once it goes to a 17-game season, that bumps to 48.5%. Salary caps for the teams increase a little more than 5%, $10 million up to $198 million per team. They think this will likely increase once and if the NFL negotiates a new media package. So a lot of goodies in there for everybody. I guess the question is, you know, why the split vote? And most of what we can attribute it to is that 17th game and inevitably what will become the 18th game.
Okay, I got two questions for you based off of that. The media package was expected to absolutely skyrocket as of our last episode, right? Do you think coronavirus affects that in a negative way or maybe in a positive way because people will be watching more TV? Now, obviously, we don't know how long this thing is going to last, but I don't know, but neither do the people making the deals. Do you think it makes any impact at all on the negotiations for these television deals or 0.0 Blutowski?
Here's my advice to you. Buy everything in sight because this is a temporary setback. Will it affect the package? I think everybody realizes this is just a moment in time. And I actually think there'll be pent up demand for everything in the economy once we come out of this. Yeah, I think a lot of people are getting stung. Money they'll never get back, but that's not the case for the NFL. I was having lunch at my favorite place, Caddy's.
Nice.
And standing there was the owner. We're just chatting about this, and he just couldn't get over that the NFL is just the most charmed organization in the world, in the universe, because when the entire sports industrial complex has to shut down for this virus,
yeah,
the NFL just comes out with more news and more excitement.
It's unbelievable, yeah. And you made the point, hey, maybe the economy is going to get stimulated after this fact, which makes us have to open the conspiracy theory door, doesn't it? But we won't get onto that here.
Yeah, that would be a mistake. That would get political real quick.
I don't care either way. But you are right. It is funny. Even they keep winning. These other seasons are getting tanked, which sucks for pro sports and for sports fans. But all this does is create bigger buzz for the NFL. Here's my second question. That $10 million increase of the salary cap, Well, you can say this. In my mind, that really helps the Steelers right now in the exact situation they're in. Does it help them in the future? No, it doesn't help the team. The Steelers always try and, spend like up to the salary cap ceiling, and then players will just get paid a little bit more. The quarterback's still going to get a certain percentage of the cap, and wide receivers are. Everybody's prices are going to go up, so it's not like, wow, the Steelers could sign one more person every year. But it does help them in this current year because I feel like they probably constructed their roster and their salaries under the former cap. So you do get this one year where it's like, hey, we have been assuming that this is the total amount of money we could spend, $188 million. And now we actually get $198 million, so maybe we can sign somebody like a Bud Dupree if we restructure a couple contracts. So that really does help the Steelers in this exact moment. Although, two little side notes from that is I heard that some of the owners and GMs were disappointed thinking that the cap was actually going to go up by more, like $15 million or something like that. And maybe the Steelers weren't constructing their roster off of 2019. Maybe for the past few years they knew, hey, a CBA is coming up, we should be getting more money. What do you think?
5% increase sounds small to me too, especially when we're talking about the numbers that we've heard for a new media package. But that's sort of scuttlebutt. I'm not sure how much the media package is going to increase, but 5% did seem like a pretty small amount.
And well, do you think it helps the Steelers right now? Or do you think that it doesn't help them because they were kind of in their minds preparing for this being the salary cap? Or do you think that this is like an angel coming in like, oh, we didn't think we'd be able to sign Bud, and now we can?
I think it is a bridge too far to assume they played that chess game. Because these contracts that you currently have were set a while ago, and that's a lot of anticipation about actually what the numbers would be, let alone that they would renegotiate and approve a contract a year early. So I wouldn't say it's dumb luck. It's close because the increase in the salary cap is only 5%. It's not like they were counting on getting $30 million extra a year. I'm hoping that this saves Ramon.
Yeah, the big ragu. That's our main priority. Well, that's not the only news that the Steelers are getting a little bit of a bonus. We got ourselves a compensatory pick for Le'Veon Bell.
A third round, pick number 102, and that is because we lost Le'Veon, as you said. We also are getting compensated for Jesse James minus Steven Nelson. And somehow, the elixir, the amalgam of all those factors gave us a third round pick. Good, because we didn't have anyone. What do we have, two and then four onward, right? From round four on.
That's right. And I think that a lot of us had forgotten about that, or at least a lot of Steelers fans, because we talk so much in this offseason about not having a first round pick and how awesome it is, because that first round pick is the greatest safety that the NFL has ever seen since Troy Polamalu, Minkah Fitzpatrick, our Lord and Savior. But funny thing is, we also traded up to get Devin Bush, so we didn't have a third round pick. And now, obviously, when that happened, Steelers fans, we were all saying, well, you're going to get that compensatory pick for Le'Veon Bell. So this isn't a shock or anything, but it is nice to see that, yes, they do have a third round pick. Those compensatory picks go at the end of the round, so it is closer to a fourth round. But hey, give me Devin Bush and Minkah Fitzpatrick 10 days out of the week. You got to respect the Steelers for being aggressive, which they have been very aggressive in their roster building in the past few years, despite what some fans want to whine about, thinking that we can just sign. Why don't the Steelers just sign Odell and Aaron Donald and Julio Jones? Why don't they do that? And Quentin Nelson, while you're at it, they could use offensive line help. Their line's getting old. They should sign Quentin Nelson. He's not a free agent. Well, do it. I just hate how the Steelers never do anything. That's all I hear. But either way, the Steelers have been aggressive. I'm glad they have been. And we'll have a little bit more on that later on in the episode.
I'm sorry, I couldn't focus. Did you realize it's 5:02 here on the East Coast
on a Sunday? We're going a little bit late, but it's time, baby. Let me hear it.
Boy.
You never want to hear a man make it sound like that.
I'm not trying to be like our fellow podcasters on Thirst and Goal.
Hey, yeah, if you want to hear the real info from there, yeah, you got to listen to Thurston.
Those guys are real true connoisseurs. Hey, passed up, I failed to mention. This might not be earth-shattering, or this won't change the playing field that much, but there was something we described last week called the veteran salary benefit. And that gives you the ability to not count $1.25 million of a veteran who's been with your team for, or actually has had four accrued years in the league. So you can do that for up to two players and save $2.5 million. And, you know, when you're talking about some of these journeyman linemen and just solid special teams guys, that accounts for something.
Two other things we forgot to mention here, actually jumping back into the CBA. Obviously, we've talked about our opinions on a 17-game season, but we might have some new people listening here now that we have the official news. Do you have, you know, have your thoughts changed at all on the 17-game season? Do you like it? Do you dislike it? Or do you just think it's the new normal and we're not going to notice a difference?
I like it, and I think it'll be the new normal, and we won't notice the difference.
Why do you like it? Just more football?
Yeah. Don't you hate it? And you know what? And the expanded, don't forget, the expanded playoffs. So what? How many games could you end up playing if you're sort of a lower-seeded team, wild card?
You don't even need to be a lower-seeded team because I don't think that the second rounder has the bye anymore. The second seed, does the second seed have the bye or no?
No, I think you're right. I think only the first seed would have the bye.
Right. I couldn't remember if that was with the 18-game season or the 17-game season. But, yeah, I think they added two more playoff games.
Sort of waved their wand, and they've added a couple guys to the roster and expanded the practice squad. And you can even take the roster above 54 players if those that you add, I think you can add two more from the practice squad with for a total of 56 players. I'm not sure that gets your starters over the hump with this extra game and the, what does Tomlin call it? The dings and dongs of the craftware.
The dings and dongs?
The pings and pangs.
I don't think he's talked about
those before. The bumps and bruises of our profession.
The bumps and bruises. Nailed it. Third time's the charm. Fourth time. Fifth time. Whatever it was. Yeah, I do dislike the 17 games. Because just look at this, man. Like, first off, here's my first point about the 17 games. We've already seen a reduction in the quality of early season NFL games because nobody plays their starters in the preseason anymore. And they're just rusty going into the first few games. And that's why all that weird stuff happens. Where, like, I don't know, was it a couple years ago? Did, like, Tennessee start 5-0 and lose 10 in a row? Like, it happens every year. We see the first few weeks are sloppy. The Steelers are horrible in the first few weeks. And that's a result of people not playing their starters as much in the preseason and the fact that you're not allowed to tackle or have full contact as much in the preseason. Well, now they have even less tackling and less contact in the preseason, and the coaches are going to be more enticed to rest their starters in the preseason because the regular season and postseason are longer now. So you're really going to see, like, yeah, early season games are going to suffer. And will the casual fan notice that? No, I don't really think so. And I don't even think that we would notice it that much, people who really pay attention to the games, just because everybody's on the same playing field, so at least it's fair, right? But it still does lower the quality. And then on the other side of the season, the playoffs are going to suffer as well because you add another game to the season, more people will get injured. Guess what the chances of that are? 100% chance. There's never been like an NFL game where somebody hasn't gotten hurt. Although we should look that up one day. And it would have been in like the 20s.
No, that's when they used to die.
You know, like drank milk on the sideline.
They smoked. Well, they
did. Yeah, that was drug related. Yeah, exactly. That's because they had early factory worker grade cocaine and moonshine on the sidelines. Those were unrelated. But now, at the end of the season, players are going to be hurt, so you're going to get guys missing out of the playoffs, or they're going to be playing hurt, so they're not going to be as good. And the playoffs, the quality of the game is going to suffer. And Steelers fans should know that better than anybody, because the Killer Bee era was cursed by Ben going into the playoffs hobbled, or AB getting knocked out by Vontaze Burfict, or Le'Veon getting hurt against the Bengals in the last game of the regular season. Or, you know, Le'Veon, when he was breaking every rushing record the Steelers have ever seen in the playoffs, being hurt by the time they got to New England in the championship. And it lowers the quality. And here's my thing. The NFL playoffs, they're exciting because they're the NFL playoffs. But game for game, they're not always great. You're lucky if you get, like, four good games every NFL playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, hockey, it's pretty consistent. It's crazy, like, how intense every single game is. And hockey is not I like hockey, but it's not football. All I'm saying is that the playoffs already aren't a super high quality of football as it is. And so now you're bringing in teams like, yeah, like the Steelers and the Rams from last year, who best case scenario, they can maybe upset one team or injure some of the players on the best teams who are supposed to go to the Super Bowl. And we know this year the Steelers are going to be one of those top seeds, so some little dirtbag in Cleveland's going to injure one of the Steelers players in the first round, and then you got to deal with that. So I just think that it's going to be the new normal. We're not really going to notice it flagrantly or blatantly, but the owners of the NFL have decided, and the players have agreed, to lower the quality of football in order to make more money, which is not shocking because the NFL's a business.
So take these ingredients and add them to your cake batter before you lick the beaters. So you know that the starters are not going to play one less game in the preseason, right? So the preseason games are going to go to 4 to 3. The number of padded practices during training camp are going to go from 28 to 16, almost half the number of padded practices. So you can surmise that that's going to add to the rust, which we would expect, but it also might
it's going to be brutal.
Reduce injuries. You don't know how that'll cut.
Yeah, so, I mean, as a humanitarian, as a person who cares about other people, hey, I mean, if they gotta hit less to preserve their bodies and to preserve the game, if that just means playing some sloppier games at the beginning of the season, okay, that's cool. But we know that the reason the NFL cut those practices wasn't to keep the players safe. It was so that they could get the 17th game, and the player's like, well, you have to give us this and keep us safe. I'm like, fine, we'll keep you safe. Just give us the damn 17th game. So, yeah, it doesn't come from a good place. I guess good for the players, you know, that they're not going to have to hit as much. But like I said, the quality of football from here on has been lowered, even if it's not totally perceptible.
Maybe you didn't account for the fact they're going to extend the length of the shoulder pads by 3/4 inches on the left side.
Well, that is just a swag issue, because you take that left side out any further, they're going to look like those 1970s guys running around with, like, what would you even call it? Some sort of prehistoric battle armor on.
It's like just a Transformer.
So hilariously large. Yeah, they're like a bunch of Transformers running out around there. No, I'm not talking about Megatron.
So the CBA is in the bag, and we are ready to start looking at free agency. So a couple of critical dates coming up here, and I really hope they didn't get deleted from the script, because it is coming up this week. So tomorrow, tomorrow's March 16th, we start the window where we can start negotiating, and the 18th is the day where you start sign on the dotted line, although it is just assumed some of the big names are going to be handled. I wonder what's going to happen to Brady, because now we have a benchmark out there.
Well, yeah, we got a benchmark from Ryan Tannehill signing big with the Tennessee Titans. Okay, a few things. Number one, after I give a little intro here, you are going to explain, please, Dad, to me and to the rest of the world, how these contracts truly get broken up, as opposed to the Adam Schefter tweets where it says, oh, Ryan Tannehill is getting $30 million a year, because those tweets really come from the agents who leak that information to the reporters first, so that it makes the agents look good. The deal is never what you see in that initial tweet, right? Let me address Ryan Tannehill as a player to a lot of people in Pittsburgh who may not have paid attention to his career. And people just assume Ryan Tannehill sucks because he's a first-round guy. He was in the same draft as RG3, Andrew Luck. I guess he outlasted both of those guys. Both of those guys is what I meant to say. And then, of course, Russell Wilson was in that draft as well. And he's never really had playoff success or anything like that, so they think, oh, he sucks. Okay, first things first. He was good with the Dolphins. He got better as the years went on, and he was having his best professional year, where the Dolphins could have really made some noise in the playoffs. They beat the Steelers with the Killer Bees healthy. Well, I take that back. Ben got injured in the second quarter and then played through it foolishly and was terrible in Miami halfway through that season. And then Tannehill got hurt, and the Steelers just absolutely plastered them at Heinz Field. But those are sad memories, because AB had 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. And then Le'Veon had one on a drive where they did 10 consecutive run plays down their throat. Either way, Matt Moore was the quarterback that day for the Dolphins. But at that point, Tannehill had really started to come along as an NFL player, and then they couldn't get it back together after that, and Gase was eventually fired. He went to Tennessee last year, and let me just put it this way. Ryan Tannehill is Alex Smith. He's a slightly better, slightly more athletic, a little bit of a stronger arm than Alex Smith. He's a good runner. He played great in the system for Tennessee. It was a no-brainer for them to keep him, honestly. And to me, he's the kind of guy that can win you some games. So it makes sense that they signed him. They didn't have anything else out there, and they think that they just made it to the AFC Championship game, so they think they're in a window. You got to keep this guy. He should probably get better next year unless he caught lightning in a bottle. I think this season he had like a top 10, if not like the best, quarterback rating in history. So he played really well with them. He's the kind of guy to me, though, when you get into the playoffs and you got to play Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to win. He's not the kind of guy who goes into the playoffs where you're like, damn, we need our quarterback to go supernova. He never has. And I don't think he ever will, but they have a complete team. And they think that he can be the guy. So signing him wasn't just smart. It was a no-brainer.
So we're going to talk.
What do you think about the money?
So there's a little bit of discrepancy depending on who you're looking at. But my source tells me he has a four-year, $118 million contract. He has a $20 million signing bonus. So think about it in this way. He's getting a four-year contract. So that's a cap hit of $5 million a year just for the signing bonus. He's also guaranteed for his base in years 1, 2, and 3. There's a little bit of a technicality. I think the third year guarantee is against injury, so he could potentially be cut then. But the guy is getting $91 million guaranteed. His annual average salary is $29.5. So,
right.
I mean, okay. It's not as, it's just what these guys are going to get paid. I think this is Alex Smith money.
Here's Trevor Sikkema at Tampa Bay Tray. I know he's a Draft Network guy, really good football analyst. He tweeted and said about the Ryan Tannehill contract, so this is essentially a two-year deal that is below starting quarterback market value with an out after 2021. If he goes beyond 2021, it's a big price increase, but by that time, the average money per year will keep it pretty team-friendly. I guess he's insinuating that the quarterback money is just going to keep going up over the next few years when Mahomes and Watson and those guys sign their deals. And when, I mean, Ben will have won 2 consecutive Super Bowls at that point, so I know he'll be old, but they'll probably just give him a massive deal regardless, right? Essentially, two-year deal below starting quarterback market value. Are we insinuating that 30 is market value at this point? Because if he's 29 per year,
well, Ben's 34. What is Brady?
Well, Brady's a weird case because he's always signed intentionally far underneath of the market value to keep New England with a ton of money. Because his wife is like a billionaire, anyways. So Brady's not a good one. You don't want to look at, honestly, don't look at Brady in that. The other two contemporaries with Ben are Russell Wilson, who makes a little bit more, and then Aaron Rodgers makes more than that. We're assuming Dak Prescott's going to make more than 30 because the rumor is that the Cowboys were offering 33. He said no. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is going to make about $100 million per game when he gets his deal. Deshaun Watson's another big one. I don't know where Carson Wentz is, but he's another one of the higher paid guys. Drew Brees has taken a little bit of a friendly deal, but I digress. Either way, that was the first big news of free agency. Do you agree? There's not much else to say there except for you guys are going to be hearing a lot about this Tannehill thing, and every time a quarterback gets paid money, people freak out and say it's too much. And it's like, it's probably
appropriate. I just think you're seeing the salary ladder. This is like this. It's like the salmon ladder upstream. It's always going to be higher and higher.
That's right.
Sorry. It's no relevance to this conversation. I just think, so what do you think?
No, it's perfect.
The number that I heard from Mahomes when he comes out of this, the $40 million, that's the next big harbinger, right?
Yeah, harbinger. Probably.
I'm not sure why I used that word either. That's the next milestone.
I don't know. Well, sounded good to me.
Although I think...
Yeah, harbinger of, it's the next, what is that, like, you know, the next omen that somebody else is going to make more than
what
him,
but is Brady going to command?
So. He's not really commanding much. I heard that. So there is also free agent news saying that San Francisco is now out of the game for Brady. Obviously, Tennessee is out signing Ryan Tannehill. So I think that all signs point to him returning to New England, like, is which, you know, I've been saying the whole time, that's his smartest move. It is a little funny that you got to assume Brady has a big ego to be such a successful athlete, but traditionally he's done a good job. I mean, he's a pretty humble guy. He's always trying to improve. The dynamic in New England is that the coaches curse him out on the practice field and the film room as much as anybody else. And that's what lets, that's what makes that like Patriot Way thing where guys come in.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah. Well, he's
sorry.
Yeah. He's saying that to, you know, Julian Edelman in a public restroom somewhere at the Kentucky Derby. But they, the fact that they treat him like that lets other like star players come into the team and know like, oh, they don't need me. I'm not that, like, if they can yell at Brady like this, they definitely don't give a crap about me. So he obviously has humility, right? But his camp has said that the desire to test free agency is not about money. So to me, all that leaves is pride, saying like, hey, I want to prove that I'm better than Bill Belichick and that it's been more me than him during our time in New England. And I don't believe that he believes that. I think he knows that he's a beast, but that Belichick's a big part of it. So who knows if Belichick isn't treating him well or if Belichick is trying to push him out the door now. I mean, we all know that he wanted Garoppolo to be the guy. So it is a little bit funky. Now, the money he's going to get, it's sort of inconsequential because he's always an outlier. He never get. I mean, if he wanted to take $40 million, he would probably deserve it, right? It's Tom Brady. The sales alone that you're going to have due to that guy is outrageous. But yeah, I guess he will come back to New England, which sucks because I wanted to see a New England fan tears just having to see him suit up for someone else. And I don't think there was any chance he was winning a Super Bowl for another team unless it was San Francisco.
So your mother just walked in and we had a 4-minute interruption, so I forget where we left off. But I did have a thought. You made a good point about Brady. I'm not sure I'd pay for him for his play because the eternal universal question is it Brady or Belichick? Oh, I remember what I was going to say. And sure. Will Brady perform the way he does on a new team the way he did with the Patriots? So that wouldn't augur for a big number, but you made a great point. There's just going to be a lot of jerseys for that one last year he plays for the Broncos, or I'm not, I'm just making it up. But yeah. I told you I was reading a biography of Bill Belichick. It's a great, It's actually a great book. I mean,
of course.
There's a Pittsburgh or there's a Pennsylvania attachment to the hunky background from which he emerged. So it's interesting. The guy's driven. And you think about all these NFL coaches is driven. I think he's the LeBron James of NFL coaches. He just works that much harder. I think he clearly has insight, but it's not, you know, preternatural. It's because he's worked so much. So
Bill Belichick.
It is the making of a coach. I think it's like the education of a coach or something like that.
And maybe that's part of the skill is just like the capacity to be able to work that long and not care about it or get into his own. And we all know, like, at this point, it's so funny when people have that discussion. Like, it's both of them. They're both unbelievable. The only difference is I don't think there's another coach who could have ever done that, what Belichick did. And I do think there are other quarterbacks who might have been able to accomplish what Brady accomplished. Who knows if Breeze was up there? Who knows if Rodgers was up there? John Elway? I mean, it's happened before. If you really took John Elway and Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach and these guys, you put them all on a field in their primes at the same age, or let's say you play like the greatest game of pickup football ever. So let's bring like actual gamesmanship into the equation. We're about to have our second 4-minute interruption in a second here, by the way, in the form of a hurricane. But you put them all on a field. There's no way you come out of that game, those games, and say like, oh, definitively Montana and Brady were just head and shoulders above Favre and Rodgers and all of these other guys. You know what I mean? So I do think that, yeah, Brady's unbelievable. If you really wanted to prove yourself, you should have gone like 3 or 4 years ago when you were still in your prime. Now, if he went to San Francisco, yeah, I think they could have won a Super Bowl. I mean, they have every piece, and then Tom Brady is still good. He hasn't declined that much, but he has just the damn brain, the experience, better arm than like a Jimmy Garoppolo, where
in San Francisco,
everything is around him. He doesn't need any help, which would be so ironic. And P. Butch, Cousin Pat, brought this up this week. We're laughing like, wait, you're going to go try and prove that it's you on a team that is so stacked where it's clear that, like, it's not you. You're just this is another Patriots situation where the team is crazy loaded and the coach is unbelievable. And that's the irony to me. And then the last piece of irony is that there are so many receivers available right now, and New England is like a receiver or two away from being back in the Super Bowl again. And if you just go back to New England, you could win number 7, unfortunately. And so it sucks for us that he's probably going to go back, but
for once, maybe we're going to get a break. We'll see. Do you think, you know who I do feel bad for? Those quarterback. Well, first of all, anybody who played football before the year 2000, but
right.
Archie Manning being stuck in New Orleans. I mean, by all accounts, a great quarterback stuck in a backwater. And you have all that talent. And back at that time, there was no way you're going to get released from a team.
There's guys like Cam Newton who just played on trash. I'm not like the biggest Cam Newton fan, but you got to admit, the guy like, it's like, oh, he had Steve Smith for a minute. And then he had Greg Olsen, his best skill position player ever. Love Greg Olsen. He is, that's not good. If that's like the best guy you've ever had around you. And they still had really competitive teams, and they couldn't put crap around the guy. So, yeah, there's a million examples of this. It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, look at Ben Roethlisberger during the Killer Bee era. I mean, that defense was a bottom three defense every year, no matter what the statistics tell you from what they racked up against the Hugh Jackson Brown teams and those Bengal teams, you know what I mean? So, like, if they even just had an average defense during those years instead of a putrid defense, then Ben would probably have at least one more Super Bowl on his list. And then even look at Brady. He throws for 500 yards in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, and they lose. So it just goes to tell you, you know, yeah, there's situations that could have worked out for some other guys. And
did you see the one of the Division I basketball teams declared itself the winner of the tournament?
Who?
Shoot, I thought you'd know it.
Damn it.
But I thought, Kansas? Well, if they can do it, the Steelers can do it and say, if we would have had the defense, we would have had a 7 Super Bowl. So I think we should call it a day. Hey, there's one more blockbuster you have pointed out that may portend to an effect on the Pittsburgh football Steelers.
Baltimore traded a freaking 5th round pick to the Jaguars for defensive line superstar Calais Campbell, who, by the way, is 7'8", 980 pounds. So now the Ravens' defensive line between him and Williams and all the rest of the guys they got there, Judon, their defensive line weighs about 14 tons. And, they just got even better. So that really sucks. That's the crazy thing about them. Lamar is also on a rookie contract, and I don't necessarily think that their roster's that great. It's good, but all I'm saying is that, they can get better, and they just did. So that really sucks. They are back to the impenetrable wall of Baltimore that we've been used to seeing. It was nice while it lasted when you could kind of run on them. But, yeah, that sucks. I guess the Jaguars are in complete fire sale. They got rid of every major player from that defense. Ramsey's gone. Bouye is gone. Who was it? Telvin Smith or someone else retired. Calais Campbell is gone. And Ngakoue, they're going to franchise tag, but he said out loud that he doesn't want to play for them, so who knows? It's unbelievable. It really goes to show you how quick those windows disappear in the NFL. And when people think, like, oh, this team's going to be around forever. Because for me, that was one of the best defenses I've seen in my life watching football. Like, that was, I thought that they were, that Jaguars defense was better than the Broncos defense. I thought that they were on par with that Seahawks defense. And now it's completely destroyed. And Baltimore is so good at scooping up these late career veterans. So Calais Campbell was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year like 2-3 years ago. I don't think he's quite at that level, but he's still really good. And the Ravens are unbelievable at signing these veteran guys who they just plug in to their defense usually, or at wide receiver, who really take the team to the next level with their talent and then with their leadership. Like Mark Ingram, the running back, is like the leader of the team. And now they have another guy like that. And damn it, it sucks because they just got a lot better. And I know last year I died on that hill saying Cleveland's going to be good. I'm sorry, they just have too many players. And I was wrong, and I'll admit that. And I find it hilarious that they could possibly be bad with all those great players that they had. But this is the Ravens, and we know, we've seen for many years, they know how to turn talent into wins as long as half their team doesn't get decimated. So, yeah, the arms race begins, gentlemen.
This is the key metric that points to Kevin Colbert needing to retain Ramon. Hey, so here's a message from our boys at Thurston Goal.
Do you love NFL football fun and booze? Join us at Thirst and Goal Podcast every Saturday night for weekly NFL coverage, whiskey, bourbon, scotch, and beer reviews. We mix expert football analysis with signature drinks, original segments, and lots of laughs.
That's right, football fans. Please join us at Thirst and Goal Podcast by heading over to thirstandgoal.buzzsprout.com or search Thirst and Goal Podcast on the web. If you're tired of boring podcasts, please come join our football party.
So I did a little, I saw some of the people on Armchair were wondering what they're going to talk about this week. Some of the non-football guys,
you know,
lesson number one, don't be baseball guys. Don't be NBA guys. But there were one guy, wish I could call him out. I'll call him out. Maybe you could tweet it out. But he had a suggestion. And he said a lot of suggestions about what they could talk about in football, barring the CBA conversation, which we just had. Let's talk about the Wonderlic. Have you ever done a sample Wonderlic test, the one that the players take?
No, but Chris Sims has talked about it on PFT and says that it's pretty random and wild. And obviously you get so many reports saying that this thing is pointless, but obviously the teams are still doing it, so it is clearly not pointless. But I haven't seen any of the questions.
It's really cool. I took a sample. One thing I did not understand as I was taking the sample test, first of all, they wanted me to buy an SAT prep class for $500. That was part of the entry to do this. But I took a sampling of the questions. And I'm here to give you a couple. I'm not going to ask you to answer because they take a little time. And that's where I think I got all the answers right. I just took too much time. That's where the pressure is. So question number one, counting from 1 to 100, are you with me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, et cetera. How many times will you hit and counter the number 6? The audience at home can't see his face, but it is, he's looking down at the ground. He's mouthing because he's counting.
Oh, crap. I've been on mute. I've been yelling. 12, 12, 12.
I don't know how you get to 12. How do you get to 12?
Oh, I don't know, man. How many times will you encounter a 6?
Yeah. There's a 6 in every decade, right? There's a 6. 16, 26. Don't forget, there are 10 in the 60s. So 10 in the 60s plus the 10 in the each decade. It's not. It's kind of a trick question. You got to think about it a little bit hard.
You're putting me on, not camera, but recording, doing math. What kind of cruel crap is this?
Do the words revelation and relativity have opposite meanings, similar meanings, or no relation? Revelation and relativity.
Well, revelation is almost like a epiphany or a word from God, if you will. And then relativity means, of course, as we all know, you know, it's a comparative term. Relativity, you're comparing two things to another, whereas revelation, there's nothing to compare to. So, in fact, they are opposite.
There is a word unscramble with 11 letters. It took me, I started cheating. I couldn't find something that would unscramble it, but at the last minute I did figure it out, but I think it was my Achilles heel because it did take me over the time limit. I'll give you two more. I'm going to give you a gimme. Which number is larger? Are you ready?
Ready.
0.5, 5, 30, 400.
What the hell kind of crap is this? How is it anything but 400? Which number is larger?
I think this is like the SAT where you get credit for signing your name. So that was your gimme. So the last one I'll give you. Tom and Nick start at the same point. Tom walks west and Jerry walks east, 6 meters each. They turn right and they walk 3 meters. Who's closer to the North Pole?
Well, as you said before, the Y, he's actually going to do a drag route. But depending on if they're man or in zone, he's going to adjust the route. If they're a man, he's just going to keep careening all the way across the field. You're going to get it to him outside the hashes. If it's a zone, he's going to find the soft spot in the middle. He's going to settle. He's going to give him the ball. Works every time.
Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Until next week, go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.